If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Yo, 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 what's up? Suns fan here with Cinderin, episode 184 of We Say Things podcast.
Yo,
thank you for joining us on this momentous occasion where there is still no patch somehow. Although we knew that was probably going to be the case. People are begging for it, Cinderin, but that's not important to talk about right now. The important thing to talk about is the people that support us, that allow us to continue to make this show, because for some reason, they keep listening to it. To our patrons in Bruges tier, I'll let you take the first half.
All right. Thank you to Charlie Kaching Sheen. T-Coil will pay $3.50 for a patch. That's actually an interesting thing. Who do you think in the world would pay the most for a patch, and how much would they pay?
Saudi Prince, easily.
How much would he pay?
Oh, you can just have the patch whenever you want. It's just ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
How much would he pay? I mean, I don't.
He'll become an international hero.
That's true. Maybe
$1 million.
Maybe he'd do $1 million. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably means nothing to him.
House is flooded, so We Say Things is my only luxury. Food's not important, right? B McBeeface. I'm really sorry to hear that if that's true. That was in New Zealand, I think. I heard that there was some flood there. So I'm assuming this is...
Flooding and fires are like the biggest... what's the right way to put this? The thing I'm scared about most in life, probably. Especially while away with the cats and whatnot. Hope everything's good with you.
Yeah. Qludes is ready to embrace our AI overlords. Stupid Copilot, D2 Bowie, Diatoro does it again, Sinner, and I personally love the Stooges, and add. Oscar Magdev Seeker wants to see drastic map changes in this coming patch, maybe a crater. My grandma still doesn't know what Dota is. Disco Farm D, taste me boo, Stoogey McStooge, Daddy Stood, notice me Senpai Stooge, Santa's Ballsack Stooge, Schadenfreude Stooge, it's time for a new name. The Mega Pope, you inanimate objects hitting the Canadians again, TI in New Zealand, and Zan Xavier.
Thank you also to Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Underscore Man, Guitar Strings, Eve Remort, made that extra American for you guys.
Remort.
Ben T.I. in New Zealand, Broomhead, Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and this from Mr. Niebling is not updated. The idea that being cold and wet causes a cold is a myth. Colds are caused by viruses, not weather. Mr. Niebling, you're late. Hope everything's okay.
Are you sure you didn't forget to update it and this is the one from last week?
I'm sure. I did that literally before the stream.
I think it's more likely that you messed up than Niebling. He's always changed his name.
Are any of the names different? Because I think we'll pay $3.50 for a patch is new.
That's not new, but Houses Flooded is new.
Okay.
So you're right.
Okay, it couldn't be. It was close. Yeah. Damn. All right. First things first, let's get this out of the way. There was a huge earthquake. I don't remember what the...
From floods to earthquake.
Yeah, wonderful. Earthquake in Turkey, and hearing a lot of horrible stories. It's been all over Reddit. Obviously, that's where I get all my news, which is probably not the right place. But condolences and thoughts are with everybody that's affected by that. I know there's a lot of Dota players in Turkey. That is scary as fuck. I didn't list, when I said my biggest fears are house flooding or fire, I didn't list earthquakes because that's not a thing here. Like, I have... Mm-hmm. Slightly felt an earthquake from California to Arizona. Like the slight swaying, that's about as bad as it ever gets here. We don't get any real natural disasters. So I can't imagine what an earthquake like that is. That is scary as fuck, though. Very scary. So yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what to add. You know, every time there's a natural disaster of that kind, it's just fucking sad, you know? Like, people's lives get ruined. Some people lose their lives. And it's kind of like, the tricky thing is that it's hard to predict, right? Is that you don't know that it's coming, and that's why you can't really save everyone in these situations. The most disappointing thing from my perspective is when I'm hearing that the country itself isn't doing all it can for the people affected. I feel like that's the absolute bare minimum you can do, is, you know, try to help people that are caught by natural disaster that they had no control over. They had no way of, you know, they just don't have any means of dealing with it. Like, what the fuck do you do?
Things I was reading, and again, this is, take this with a grain of salt, but I have no trouble believing it, that people that are, I don't know what they're called, the people that there's jobs is to predict the earthquakes. This was predicted like a few years ago that a big one is going to be coming, and the government ignored them. That sounds very believable, because that's basically most governments, I feel like. So if that's the case, that's obviously very, very bad.
What I was getting at was that I don't think it's impossible to predict to any extent natural disasters, right? But it's really difficult to pinpoint the timing, and people are probably for the most part not going to act on, you know, it's like if you say it's probably going to rain on Sunday, then people aren't going to plan for it to rain on Sunday until it's actually Sunday, right? They're not going to be like, okay, if there's a chance it's going to be raining in 3 days, then maybe this is a terrible analogy. But I think you get the idea that if there's a chance, but it's not like confirmed, but it's like a risk, you hear about risks all the time at this point, right? Or things going wrong on the news. So you're probably a little bit numb to the whole thing if there's warnings about things. And
it's
kind of the boy who cried wolf. Then every time there's a warning, you're like, oh, whatever. And then when it actually happens, you're like, oh, shit.
I mean, they had a big one. I remember how many years ago, like 20 plus or whatever it was, a big one. And I don't know anything about Turkey other than that they love cats and dogs, which is one of the big reasons that Nikki and I want to visit. But like, I know in California, just as an example, they are hardcore. When you're putting up a building, you make sure that you put every precaution possible to minimize damage from an earthquake, because they're expecting it, right? So I don't know if that's a thing that they've been doing, or if that, like, certain areas just weren't affected. I don't, just saying, like, obviously there's stuff you can do, but certain element of, you know, surprise for the citizens at the very least.
Yeah. And I don't know enough about how frequently. So I know that obviously there's countries that never get earthquakes, and there's countries that get them somewhat frequently, but I don't know how, like, close to the same area they strike every time. Because there's some areas that are likely to get hit by, what's it called, is it called typhoons? Where the water just, like, splashes in and can, like, submerge an entire city? Is that a typhoon?
I don't know the difference between a typhoon. I think tsunami and typhoons, if I remember right, they're the same, but certain areas call them one thing and certain areas call them the other. Could be wrong.
Okay, so I think it's called tsunami, what I'm thinking of anyway. And I know there are coastal cities and coastal areas that have them quite frequently, and they still rebuild. And I feel like that's one of those things where you got to ask yourself, like, even if you love living there, is that worth rebuilding if you know it's going to strike again? Because these areas are just susceptible to it. Whereas with earthquakes, if that's not as accurate to pinpoint, it's like, okay, like, what do you do, right? Like, there was an earthquake somewhere in Turkey. Is it going to be there in the next 20 years? Maybe not. Maybe it's not going to be there for 50 years. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else. Maybe it's, you know. So it's just hard. And that's also why, like, the whole prepping thing for it is hard. Because, yeah, you can take the precautions you want. But if the earthquake is of this magnitude, I don't think you can really truly protect yourself with anything else than prediction. Like, even if you build the buildings with earthquake precautions, it will be better. But if you're in the streets when this shit happens, your life is in danger no matter what. So
tsunami is, like you said, what you're thinking of. The thing I got confused with, typhoon and hurricane are the same thing. Just certain areas of the world call it typhoon, while others call it hurricane, which I always found interesting. Anyway.
Okay.
That's just a little trivia for you. But yeah, our best to everybody in Turkey. Hopefully things get back to normal, and yeah, not much else to say.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing, there was a rumor. So what's this guy's name again?
Strong rumor.
Yeah. Damn it. Hold on one second. John Patrick Lowry, the guy who voices Pudge and does a bunch of other heroes as well. And he does the arena announcer. Like when you guys know what I'm talking about. The guy that's actually there in person. His wife does a bunch of voices as well. She does GLaDOS along with a bunch of Dota heroes. Basically the power voice acting couple. Pretty cool, actually. And they're super, super nice. So we've met them. I think it was TI3 was when they were out and about in Seattle. Anyway, John Patrick Lowry posted something on Facebook saying that he and Ellen, aka the wife, will be going to Lima, Peru. They don't say what for. And then he also mentioned they'll be going to Seattle for TI in October. That has since been deleted from the So whether that is actually the case or not remains to be seen.
I think the original post, including this one, says that they're going there specifically for the major, right? To
yes.
Lima. Okay. I thought you just said he didn't say what for, but he did write that he's going for the major.
No, he says, but we don't know why he's going to the major. Like, that's not normal.
That's true.
So that's cool for people that are going to be at the major. And do you buy this? That obviously, for somebody like him, they'd have to book him in advance. So that part is probably true, that he would have advance notice. But whether it's in Seattle specifically, maybe he just assumed, although it hasn't been there in a long time, right? I don't think he's gone to any TIs that haven't been in Seattle.
Right.
Am I wrong?
We invited
on that?
Him for TI and he was like, all right, guess we're back to Seattle. And he hasn't followed for like 4 years. I mean,
what do you think?
I don't know. I think this is a slip personally. And the reason is it's not the first rumor we've heard about TI in Seattle, right? We've also talked about it on previous episodes that there's a rumor that it will be coming home to Seattle. So this just adds to the pile of making it more likely for me. It's obviously not confirmed, but it's starting to seem more and more like a reality here.
TI-12. Which, am I wrong? Is that what it is?
It's TI-12, yeah.
That sounds weird, doesn't it? That's a lot of TIs, actually.
It's a lot of TIs.
We're old,
but I mean,
man.
What we can talk about is whether it's good for it to come back to Seattle. I think there's definitely pros and cons to that. Mm-hmm. I think the pros is, from Valve's perspective, everybody who wants to participate in TI is closer to home. And I think what that's going to lead to is more manpower.
That's true.
Because usually, if TI is across the globe, Valve employees need to choose, are we going to do this and leave everything behind for 3 weeks or four weeks, however long it is with the prep time and everything, or are we going to stay back and work on the other stuff that we're doing? And when it's in Seattle, I think they can kind of do a hybrid solution, or even if you do work fully on it, you're still back with your families, which is probably a big dilemma for some of the employees with going to TI across the globe. So there's going to be more people, I think, first of all. I think Valve will be more in control of the products that they get to send out. There's less logistical issues because they're way more familiar with what the city has to offer in terms of accommodation, in terms of arenas, in terms of production setups, all this stuff. And then the cons are, at least historically, some teams have struggled with getting visas. I would like to think it's a bit easier now. But that will obviously remain to be seen if it does go to Seattle. And then the other con is time zone, but that's a con depending on who you are, right? Like, whichever region this is in, it's going to favor some over others.
I would say it's a con for most people, because in America, there's not that many people playing.
Yeah, but there's a lot of... I think there's quite a lot of people watching. And if you... Like, let's say TI games usually start at like 11, right? Local Seattle 11 is 7 p.m. CET, I think it's plus 8. So the first series or two is within reach for people on a common schedule. And then the later series will be hard to watch. And for SEA, it's in the middle of the night. And last TI, when it was in Singapore, the morning games were out of reach for most people because it was way too early. It was either middle of the night for Europe or about to be midnight in the US, right? And that meant the later games would be European morning and in the middle of the night for NA. So there's just no perfect solution, right? I don't think the viewership was... I don't know how affected it's been by region choice, but, you know.
When was the last time we had a TI in Seattle? Eight?
TI seven.
Seven.
TI eight was Vancouver, right? So Vancouver, and then Shanghai, and then...
Romania.
Bucharest, and...
Singapore.
Singapore, right? Yeah.
So TI seven, that is the day nine TI, the artifact TI. Yep. That's a long time ago. Damn.
They're bringing it back so they can announce artifact.
Don't.
Coming back.
I mean, I know nobody else would be happy, but that would be a joyful occasion for me.
Do you think Valve will announce a new game this TI?
Neon Prime is basically what you're asking, if they'll announce Neon Prime. Probably not.
No? When did they register the trademark for that?
Been like a year.
A year. Yeah, okay. It's maybe too early then.
I mean, I think they're probably turned off. It's not... forget about Artifact being a disaster and all the stuff that happened afterward. The actual announcement,
mm-hmm.
The groan of the crowd, like, that should teach you, if nothing else, which I'm sure they've done a lot of studies elsewhere now, but Dota players don't give a shit about any other game, even if it's Dota-related. They could come out with Neon Prime. It could be Dota-related somehow. I don't think... I mean, some people would be excited, but the crowd would not be, I think.
Here's the thing. For me, I disagree. And I think the reason the crowd was not excited about Artifact was that it was a card game, which is not for everyone, and maybe didn't match the hype that was generated for it. And also, like, it felt like it was just another one, you know? Even though it wasn't. Like, Artifact, I think, had some depth and something other card games didn't. But the fact was that there'd been so many card games recently, right? And other IPs that had done that as their extra thing.
Okay,
so it was
let me rephrase
people were
this.
Hoping when Valve wanted to launch a new game that, okay, this is going to be the new big thing, some new creative shit. And yeah. It was like, oh, it's a card game. That's why they were disappointed.
Now that I'm thinking about it, if they did this with Artifact, it would have worked, which means it would work for another game. You need to show something more hype that actually shows gameplay, number one. Number two, And this is more important than anything, no matter what you do. I think even if they kept the video exactly the same for Artifact, you need to come out with the announcements that are Dota-related before. So if people are expecting new heroes, which they are every TI, those should be announced beforehand. If there's like a big patch or some mechanic change or something coming in the future, announce that first. Then You do the non-Dota-related one, where it could be Dota-related still through another genre or whatever, but that kind of softens the blow to a degree, I feel like. Because I think, if I remember right, and it's been a long time, but I was excited. I was one of the few. But when Artifact was announced, it's like people were expecting a big announcement about Dota specifically, right? Which they probably ended up getting later, but that didn't fill it for them. So I think that's probably the biggest deal. Maybe. Right. I don't know. It would be cool. I'd enjoy that. Neon Prime. Need to change the name, though. That just sounds terrible.
Imagine this TM that we're theorizing is going to be a game. Like, Neon Prime actually has nothing to do with a game. And it's some sort of new hardware or whatever. There was nothing attached with the trademark,
buy
right?
Buy some Neon Prime. Yeah.
It's literally just the name, right? There's nothing attached with the trademark.
No, there's leaks about what type of gameplay it had, but this was so old and...
But those didn't call it Neon Prime. They called it Citadel, right? Those old leaks.
It's been so long, I don't remember.
And I think people are just assuming now, okay, Valve has registered a TM, it's a new game, but I mean, there's no guarantee that it's a game, right? Mm-hmm. Valve has made plenty of projects that have been leaked, and then the game gets shelved because they don't like how it's turning out, or people want to work on something else, and then the game's just gone, right? So, yep. And that's where I'm a little bit confused and uncertain here, because we obviously had the rumors that we had heard that Ice Frog was working on something else than Dota, which had me excited about it. And then we heard the rumor that we talked about a month ago that Ice Frog is back on Dota, which could mean two things. It could mean that he's working on both games, or that the other game he was working on got shelved and now he's doing Dota again, or that he's taking a break from the new game because he's done a lot of his work on that and Dota needed some love. Like, whatever it is, who knows? It's always, with Valve, it's always speculation, but part of me is a little bit worried that whatever he was working on for a while, I'm assuming it's been, if you work on a game, the rumors are that he worked on it for quite a long time, then, I mean, it just sucks if it doesn't get to see the light of day, right? If it's just a waste.
Yeah, well, those Reddit threads asking for updates, they finally got to him. Probably has like some alert on his phone. Every new thread on Reddit comes up, pops up.
Like, fuck it, all right, guys, I'll fix your game. And leave me alone.
All right, next thing. Fnatic, the organization, made a tweet saying the following. After reflecting on the sustainability of our Dota 2 roster, we've made the difficult decision to temporarily withdraw from the title. Above all, we want to thank the ever-passionate SCA audience and all players and staff that have supported us with the title. Your thoughts? This is a pretty big org, an org that's been around since basically the beginning of Dota 2, and big time in Han, it kind of transitioned through that. Hopefully it's just a break, but yeah, not good. Is this the thing Suns fan was warning us about? I don't know.
Dude, I love that. It's become such a
big meme. Is actually so good.
It's so funny. I mean, what? It's a shame, right? It's probably the household name of SEA and Dota for a long time. And what was the first SEA roster Fnatic got? Was it TI4? I want to say.
Probably maybe around there, because TI4 is when like No-Tail and them started doing other squads, I believe.
Oh, wait, maybe they... Yeah, so TI... Yeah, right, because TI3 Fnatic were there, but that was the Western team. And then I think they started looking into SCA after that. So yeah, it was TI4 or TI5, whatever year that was. So 14 or 15, I guess. Fnatic became an SCA staple, and they've been there ever since. So this is obviously a big loss for the region to have this org gone. What are the reasons? Who knows? Do they not have the funding for it? Do they feel like Dota is just a poor return investment from an org perspective? Are they not able to get the players that they want? Do they want to... Is there another game that they want to invest into? I mean, who knows, right? But it's a shame. And I do hope they come back, or that another org rises to the occasion. Because I think all regions in Dota need orgs. Even though, like, right now, for example, Western Europe has an insane talent pool and is doing really well at international competitions. They're still playing in orgs. So making these independent teams, it's like a risk thing, right? I think a simple way sometimes to boil down orgs for players is that it's kind of like an insurance. You pay a percentage of your prize winnings usually by contract to the org, but they provide you with boot camp locations. They provide you with a stable source of income if things go poorly, because it's a performance-based game and you're not always going to own. And it sucks if you have a big team or a strong team and things go awry and you're like, okay, I just did a months and months of this, or a year, for minimal return, if any, because the tournaments didn't go that well.
Yeah, and I'll say from like a org standpoint, SCA, South America are the two cheapest regions, or at least they have been,
yes,
historically. Yeah. So yeah, the fact that they like it's not worth it is pretty bad. Hopefully it's like they're just spreading themselves too thin with however many titles they're working with. But like you said, hopefully it's temporary. Dota's never been really great for that kind of thing. But yep, it is what it is. This is a good segue, though, because we're talking about the negatives. Zoid, who a lot of you guys don't know, but Cinder and I do, used to work at Valve, a Valve employee that worked on like the server side.
Nice guy.
Super nice guy.
Like this guy.
We used to talk a decent amount back in the day. And he made an interesting tweet, because Team Secret tweeted out that the 7 billionth game was recorded in Dota, which is mind-boggling.
How many people are on Earth?
Less than that.
Are you sure?
Not anymore. It's about that, though.
7.9 billion.
We're at almost 8 billion. Jesus Christ. Stop having kids, for God's sake. No benefit in having kids, other than misery. Anyway, back to the positives again. Zoe tweeted this. When I helped engineer the matchmaking for Dota 2 at Valve, aka game coordinator, I chose a 32-bit value, with up to 4 billion, for the match ID. I estimated at one game per second, which would last 126 years. I was wrong. Dota 2 quickly moved to more than 15 games per second. Oops. Dota 2 has been out for 12 years, starting from its unveil at Gamescom. 7 billion matches over 12 years is approximately 18 matches per second over the entire lifetime of the game so far. That is insane, man. That is
actually just so crazy when you think about it.
That is so ridiculous. I mean,
how can there be 18 games per second and Arteezy still needs to queue for 20 minutes to find one?
Because there's not many Arteezys, that's why. There's a lot of plebs.
It really does put things into perspective, though. When so many games are played so often, that queue times are as they are. Because, like, it just shows how wide a span of players we have, right? Because it's not like, even in the population where there's most players playing, I don't know which MMR that is. People don't find games after 1 second, right? So, that was also a very dumbed down version because there's obviously multiple regions, multiple times of day or whatever, but it's just a crazy stat. Whenever you hear numbers like this, it's just a bit wild, right?
I'd be interested to know what's the average game length during that time. So those games times the game length, how much time is that? How many years?
Yeah. I mean, we could do a rough estimate if you wanted.
Yeah, sure.
How many minutes do you want to say?
It's already older than... Okay, so... What was it? 7 billion? Can we say 30 minutes? Is that fair?
30 minutes? Okay.
Make it easy.
Yeah. So that's obviously 210 billion minutes. And then what do you want it in? You want it in years?
Yeah.
So minutes to years is... Hang on. Divided by... Now I need to not be stupid. Divided by 60, then it's hours. Divided by 24, then it's days. Divided by 365.25. Am I doing this right?
What's your number?
About 400,000 years.
Is 400,000 years correct, chat? That's the beauty of having chat.
That is not right. There's literally no fucking way this is right. It has to be way more, right?
Very good. Thank you.
Am I doing this right?
Chat, just do it for us, please. Some people are saying yes.
This can't be.
This is quickly turning to the worst segment we've ever done, by the way. Yeah, you could chat GPT it. Convert this many minutes into years.
Oh, it is right. I did do it right.
So 400,000 years.
400,000 years of Dota.
Okay. How much time is needed to evolve something? Like, let's say this period going forward, how long would it take for our tonsils to not be a thing anymore? We just wouldn't have tonsils anymore. This is a hypothetical, theoretical question.
I'm going with this.
Just answer, is it less or more than 400,000 years?
Less.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So we could have evolved out of a lot of bad habits as well.
Yes.
Tonsils are a bad habit. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, that's
I don't know
really,
either.
Really that's... great that we've had so many games of Dota over the years. And I know that, especially me, I can be very negative. I focus on the negative. I'm also realistic, of course. Sindarin is... the opposite. He's a fucking robot. Does not have emotion.
I am getting more and more realistic over time, Shannon, and more less naive.
I think that's because you're hanging out with me, though.
I don't know, man. I'm just getting older and angrier.
My realism is infecting you. It's like a fungus that's been growing inside you all this time.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I liked it better when I was happier.
Yeah, but that's still a lot of games. So congratulations
really
to Dota.
It's bliss, though. It really is.
I mean, the fact that the game has lasted this long, that's...
Yeah.
Not many games can say that at all.
And that's right? Dota 2 only.
Yeah, that's
worth
true.
Keeping in mind. I wonder how many games of Dota were played. That would be a really cool stat. We obviously can't get that, but by comparison, because that
probably
game was
close.
Huge as well
probably
for many
not
years.
Close. There's no way it's close.
No, so how long did we have Dota for? 2003
First
until
of all,
2011.
Starting a game of Dota 1 was fucking miserable, okay? Sometimes could take 45 minutes.
It's true. It took a long time.
So there's no way.
There's no way it's as many games. I just wonder what the factor is.
I would say 5% maybe.
All right.
5 to 10%.
That's pretty few.
At best.
Okay. I think it would probably be more.
We can ask ChatGPT what they think. All right. And final Dota-related topic, and it's a subject that is kind of over both of our heads. Only reason we're including it is because it was on sites like Ars Technica. The title says, Valve waited 15 months to patch high-severity flaw. A hacker pounced. So I read through this, and of course, like a lot of the stuff, they don't really explain what the vulnerability was necessarily, other than you could access like executables. So I guess that means you can gain control of their computer or something. I don't know. But essentially what happened is there was some vulnerability found in some software. This is going to be complete layman term and part of it might be incorrect, but the gist of it, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Valve had, they were aware of this issue because it affected something bigger that wasn't related to Dota. It might've just been through Chrome or some shit. I can't remember. And they just didn't patch it until, I don't know when this was. Might've been, so Google patched it in October 2021. And I assume Valve patched it recently. But essentially what happened is there was a couple of mods, custom games, that were theoretical, or that were actually created that had this vulnerability in it. And they can't, based on this, what this article says, they can't tell if it was like intentional, purposeful, like malicious, or if there's like a testing thing. Because like one of the mods was don't download this, for example. But if you did, you would have this thing that people could take, I assume, control of your computer. I don't know the actual details. It's been patched, and that is about the limit of my knowledge of this. Sindarin.
Well, here's the thing. Google fixed it quickly, probably, because this vulnerability affects a lot of stuff. Valve, nobody felt like fixing this on the day. They were working on other projects. So
that's right.
They didn't really want to do this because they didn't think it sounded fun. So there you go. I mean, honestly, I have no idea.
I know. I figured you'd talk more so I could drink at least. Jesus.
Yeah. So when I read this, I was hoping that this was tied in to an extent with some of the supposedly, I don't know, it's very, I feel like it's hard to tell from anecdotal experience with my games, but I'm hearing that cheating in Dota is at an all-time high. I was hoping that there was some sort of connection that this flaw that was affecting Dota was allowing people to implement cheats. But it sounds like these two things are not related at all. So that sucks, because I was hoping this fix would help with that, but I don't think so.
So again,
I feel like it would be a bigger story if this was just nuking a lot of the cheats that were going around.
Yeah, I don't think it's related. I should also mention again that there's no proof that this was done in a malicious manner at all, but the custom games were never reported to Valve either. So it's like,
right,
they don't know if this has affected anybody in actuality. Custom games, like if you're going to make a random game, nobody's going to play it. So it's not really much of a risk. Technically, unless it gets semi-popular or something like that. So they could have taken advantage of this in a much more impactful way, but they didn't. So doesn't say whether anybody was actually affected, but just figured since there's literally no news the past month that we would discuss this Dota news that made it to a bunch of websites that I usually surf through. So
don't worry, we have more news. coming up from NA.
Yeah,
this and one's the final, gonna be hot.
The final talk.
I can't wait for this.
I don't
one.
Mean to laugh because I don't know if people have died yet. That sounds so bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's just start
you
over.
Can, you can redo. You can do that one over.
Let's redo right. this part. In the U.S., we have had some interesting incidents occur, Sindarin, that feel very fishy to me.
Yes.
So let's break this up into two segments.
Okay.
Well, when I say that, I'm going to mention what both of them are, and we're going to combine them, so we're not really separating. Just let's start over again. So, in the United States, there have been these balloons that have been flying above some of our states. Oh. I put down UFOs here because technically that's what they are. They're unidentified okay. flying objects, although some of them right. might be Chinese, so maybe they're not okay. those ones were not UFOs. So there was a balloon that went from, I think it came from Alaska, like around, you know, from China to Alaska or whatever, and then the northern part of the US, and it was shot down eventually. And they can't tell, like, they don't say very much about what the hell that actually was, other than some mm-hmm. surveillance thing, but it was like a literal balloon. Then another one, except it wasn't a balloon this time, another unidentified flying object was taken out because it was in the pathway of an airplane. Like it's the thing they had to worry about the most.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was not a balloon this time. And they, last I heard, maybe there was some updates. There was, they barely even described what the shape was. So basically,
it was unidentified.
It was unidentified, and they're not talking about what it is. I'm not saying this is alien. Obviously, I don't believe that stuff, although it is hilarious to talk about. But that's weird, right? That's really mm-hmm. weird. And then this last week, there have been a bunch of like chemical spills and train accidents. And I think in Texas, I want to say both Carolinas, there was one in Tucson where they had to shut down the highway because of a chemical leak or something. And what the fuck's going on? Something's weird. Ohio as well. Thank you. Something weird is going on, Sindarin. Is mm-hmm. this like somebody trying to poke us before a war begins? It's really weird. Like, what are the chances that in the 1 week, all of these weird accidents, like forget about the fucking balloons, just mm-hmm. the trains crashing, spilling over toxic chemicals, highways being closed, citizens endangered. It's weird. I don't know what to think. What do you think?
So if this is something that's like uncommon and then it just happens five times in five different states within a week, that's pretty sus.
Yeah.
To use to be young with the young people, you know? That's Dude, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine on this. I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure the UFOs are not from outer space. I think that's the thing I feel the strongest about here.
Yeah.
Whether the balloons were spy balloons from China or whatever, I don't know if that was actually confirmed or just a speculation or theory that just spreads. That's the problem sometimes, is that some people just have this theories that might be true or might just be complete conspiracies, but if they become the major picked up story, that's the one you hear. True. Even if it's just some ridiculous dumb idea that somebody had, but who knows, it might be the truth. The chemical spills, though, I mean, there's not much to say, though, is there? Like,
well,
they're okay. there, they happen.
I'll say this, and I don't know if this is propaganda because I don't follow politics that closely, but I know that Obama apparently put in like some, I don't know the specifics, so I'm going to just give you the gist. Mm-hmm. There was some law that had to update like brakes for trains or something because the analyst told them that the current brakes, they will fail. So mm-hmm. he put in new brakes. It was like some thing that everybody had to follow, and then Trump reversed it. So now people are saying that is why this is happening. I don't want to make this political, just saying.
Yeah, like, no matter whether that's true or not, what are the odds? Did all the trains have their brakes removed last week? Or what? Like,
I mean,
whatever people want to point to, if something like this happens this many times, again, the US is huge. and accidents happen every day. So it's not like, oh, there was an accident that is unbelievable. Something must have fucked up. It's if it's a similar type of accident that is uncommon, happens multiple times within a really short time frame around the same like subject, which in this case would be dangerous chemicals or whatever, right? That seems organized, you know? It's like,
ooh.
If it was like three separate accidents and it's with, I don't know, you know what I'm getting at, right?
I understand. Now, I'm not going to say you're wrong or correct or anything. Mm-hmm. This is the closest that I've seen you believing in some conspiracy theory. That's pretty cool, actually. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't have a conspiracy here. It's not like, oh, it was this person this country doing it or whatever.
Yeah,
but
you got that conspiracy. That's right. Yeah.
It's like,
keep going.
Maybe I'm just naive here, and maybe this happens more than I would think. But the fact that it's becoming a big news story in this way probably means that the magnitude of it is a lot more than usual, right? It's like, yeah, accidents happen, but this, well, what's your guess then? What do you think?
Well,
do you think it was the aliens?
It's the UFOs, yeah.
Oh.
No, I have zero theory. I'm just dumbfounded. This is fucking weird, man. Like, first thing I thought of, obviously, was the negative that, you know, this is basically what you're saying. Like, the chances of this happening, like, maybe the chances aren't that slim. I don't fucking know. But
then it just feels like we would be, you know, used to
maybe
hearing
a major
about it,
chemical
right?
spill happens every week and the news just talks about the school shootings instead. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's possible. It's definitely possible.
Which there was another one, by the way, of course, every week, though. That's a weekly tradition here in the U.S.
The fact that is... Okay, I'm just, it's a really big country, so there's a lot more people, but the fact that that's just, you know, it's just another one, it's just so fucking sad to me. That is like,
it gets to the point
people are desensitized to it at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, it's so fucking, like, I'm trying to imagine, if something like that happened in Denmark, it would be a huge fucking story, and people would
was it Denmark or some other Scandinavian, it was Norway maybe, where there was a guy who shot up a school or something.
So there was a guy in Norway, and I believe it was on a school excursion on an island, and he went and killed a lot of children, and that was such a unique and crazy thing to happen that we still reference that now, and that is many years ago.
Yeah.
So stuff like this just doesn't happen very often in Scandinavia. It's not like it never happens, but I wonder when the last school shooting in Denmark was. Let me see. Okay, so I just Wikipedia'd it. School shootings in Denmark, and it's giving me one. 1994.
But this one was not 1994 that you're referencing. That was like...
No, that one was more recent, but it's still... And that was in Norway, right? I mean, this is just a bad search for me. I don't know. But it's a really big story in Denmark if something like that happens. It's extremely rare. For multiple reasons, which we don't have to get into what that probably is. But yeah, it's just... Oh, I don't know, man. Think good thoughts instead.
That's right. Okay, this has never happened before, Sindarin.
Okay.
In the history of We Say Things, we are at the 43-minute mark, and we have no topics now. What do you want to do? Because we can talk about random shit for a little bit longer.
We could.
I can't remember the last time...
Let's take
time.
Suggestions from chat.
Yeah, we can take suggestions from chat, but the fact that this hasn't happened before... just goes to show how dead the news cycle is right now in Dota. It's insane. Like, the stuff that we talked about, that's me scraping the fucking barrel. You know?
Yep.
Zoid tweeting that there was a lot of games. That was a whole topic we talked about. There's a lot of games played in the last 12 years. Like, we didn't know that, okay? That's our topic. Ooh.
We did math live, and we're still under an hour?
All right.
Yeah.
Spray rate, condiment tier list. That's pretty good, actually.
Condiment tier list. Okay. Which condiments do we do?
That's the problem, is you need to select X amount of condiments.
We don't have to make a graphic for it. We can just do it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just, all right, give me your... Okay, let's say mustard, ketchup, Mayo. Do you want types of mayo or just mayo?
You can put like horseradish.
Horseradish?
The thing with mustard is there's a lot of different kind of mustard as well, though.
There's a lot of different kinds of all of this. There's also a lot of different ketchups and mayos. And
yeah. So it's up to you. You're the robot. You can even ask your friend ChatGPT for suggestions on how to kind of separate
all right,
this.
Raw onions.
What?
Does that count as a condiment?
No. All right. When somebody says condiment, I think sauces. Is that wrong?
So why is horseradish a condiment then?
Because,
horseradish is not a sauce. It's a
horseradish sauce. Let me look this up. Horseradish.
What the fuck is horseradish sauce?
I get it all the time. What do you mean? Yeah, it's horseradish sauce. What does horseradish look like without being a sauce? Oh, that looks weird as fuck. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna... Let me look at the images here. Okay, yeah, we're gonna... So, horseradish sauce, okay?
Is that actually on this list? Okay, I mean, this is good.
So, hot sauce, like sriracha or whatever.
Sure. Okay, yeah.
Barbecue, right?
Okay, barbecue sauce, sure.
Sweet and sour, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking of chicken nuggets sauces at McDonald's. chili sauce, thank you, chat.
Okay.
This is going to be... God, this is the worst segment ever. Ranch,
We've probably done worse.
Ranch.
All right.
You're going to have to send me this list because I need to look at it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good enough? Oh, teriyaki or like soy sauce. That surely
soy
counts.
Oh, right. Of course. Classic.
I'm sure we're missing some...
So when I hear condiment... I guess our look on this is different. For me, a condiment is something that's on the side, right? So if you have like, or
let's
like
just
traditional,
change
it doesn't
to sauce.
Have to be.
Right, it's sauce. Sauce. Fearless.
For me, sauces are not a condiment. That's why I mentioned immediately mustard, ketchup, and mayo, because those are things you get on the side with your fries or with whatever, right?
But how
that to me is a condiment.
You don't think ketchup is a sauce? I consider
not in
it a
this,
sauce.
I mean, I guess, do you consider mayo a sauce then?
Yeah.
And mustard is a sauce.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I never really thought about it, but I do consider them sauces now that I think about it.
Yeah, okay. I'm
so
sure.
That makes me not understand what a condiment is at all.
I feel like this list is just... whatever. The biggest mystery to me is still that the first one you came up with was fucking horseradish sauce. That is still...
That's good.
Unbelievable.
That's good.
To
not
me.
To be a spoiler here, like, but that's good.
How is that the first thing you think of?
I like sauces a lot, so this is going to be hard to actually rate. Right, send me
Dude,
them.
What's the show called? Family Feud. Imagine you asked people in the population, you're like,
well, that's
name
different.
A condiment. Where do you think horseradish sauce is going to be? It's literally fucking zero. Nobody would mention that. Ketchup would be 85, and then mayo would be 10, and mustard would be 5. And that's it.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think of horseradish sauce?
Well, I wouldn't, if it was on Family Fucking Feud, I wouldn't say horseradish sauce, okay? I was just telling you what I like, okay?
Okay. All right.
Like, okay. We could go really
we're
deep and say chocolate sauce as well.
We're pretending these are condiments. I've sent them to you on Discord.
Okay.
So I'll just, I'll repeat the list. The list is mustard, ketchup, mayo, horseradish sauce, hot sauce, barbecue sauce. Sweet and sour, chili sauce, ranch, and soy sauce. And how do you want to do this? Do we pick a top three, or do you want to rank all of them?
We're ranking
one
all
to
of
how
them.
Many is this?
We're ranking all.
Okay, there's 10. So we're ranking them 1 to 10, where this, one is the best.
Okay.
Okay.
That's at least easy.
That is pretty easy, yeah. That is very easy.
We're probably going to have different
ones. We're going to have very different ones, because you mentioned fucking horseradish sauce. That's not a 10. I don't even know how to rank it. I don't know if I've ever had that.
All right, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, this is actually kind of hard because they do. Okay, I guess I'll do this. This is great for audio listeners. Now we're just thinking and typing.
I'm almost done.
You're almost done. Wow, you're really fast. Yeah. I'm really debating whether to put horseradish on 10 or 11 out of 10. That's rough. Oh, that's also a good one, though.
Ooh, this is hard, though. This is hard.
It's kind of hard. All right. I get... Man.
Really? Okay. I'm looking at my own list. I'm surprised. Okay.
All right. I'm a bit unsure. Let's go put 10 horseradish.
All right. I'm good.
Bottom up to help myself here.
So here's the thing. Our criteria are going to be a bit different, right? But that's fine. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't put any criteria.
So my criteria, the way I would rank these is how often I would use them. Does that seem fair?
Okay. Sure. That's fine.
Which means...
Hang on. I'm missing two. I'm trying to figure out which ones I'm missing. Sweet, sour, and chili. Oh, there we go. That's why.
Okay. I'm good. We're not going to mention Thousand Island, all right? It's getting too specific. Oh, there is... Okay, can I add one sauce?
Sure.
It's more of a dressing, because the Thousand Island really got me thinking. It's oil vinegar. Is that fine? Oil vinegar?
It's not a fucking condiment, dude. Vinegar is not a condiment.
I'm putting oil vinegar.
I'm going to Google what a condiment is. I feel like I'm losing my fucking mind.
I'm putting oil vinegar on here. It has to be.
Condiment, a substance such as salt, mustard, or pickle that is used to add flavor to food.
Yeah. Okay.
There are seven condiments that every kitchen should have. Olive oil, balsamic vinegar, ooh, sriracha, mustard, ketchup, soy sauce, and Nutella.
Nutella?
What is that on this list?
All right, if Nutella is a condiment, all of these are condiments.
I just started reading this. Okay, I guess that's a condiment. Fucking Nutella.
All right, I got. Dude. I added oil vinegar. Okay, it's added.
Okay, is this because it's a joke page? It's from Hello Giggles.
All right, dude, you ready? You ready? Who's going first?
Sorry. What was the last one you said to add?
Oil vinegar.
Okay, that's pretty good though.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm still doing my final touches, Shannon. I'm taking this very seriously.
I can tell you're taking it too seriously.
Okay, oil vinegar.
Yeah,
man, that is good though.
It's a great sauce.
It is. It's my favorite condiment. I mean, I do think that might actually be a condiment. So that's fine. Okay, I'll put it here. Yeah. All right. Do you want to start bottom up or top down?
It's been
a long time since we did a tier list. It's been years.
It has been a long time. Yeah.
I love doing tier lists with you. It's always so funny.
All right, I'll go first. I'll start at the bottom, I guess. My least favorite of all those is ranch.
Wow.
I mean, it's sometimes okay, like on wings or something, but like ranch, just generally, I'm at best. I mean, I should mention like all these sauces are good on some level. Next is soy sauce, which I will only have when it's like sushi. Then obviously it's good. Other than that, I would never use soy sauce on anything.
So you would always do like sweet sour with spring rolls, for example.
Yes.
Okay.
Next is horseradish sauce. If I'm basing this on how often I use it, if I have horseradish sauce and I'm making a sandwich, I will use it instead of mayo, actually. It's
okay.
A mayo, it looks like mayo. It takes mayo to the next level, in my opinion, but I just don't use it that often, but it is quite good. And if I have too much, I get heartburn, so I can't really eat it very long. Okay. Next, sweet and sour sauce. Extremely good, but only time I'm really gonna, it's not like I'm dipping anything in it other than like a chicken nugget or something, or if I get sweet and sour chicken, right? So that one feels like I'm never putting it on stuff, so maybe it should be lower. Mm-hmm. Next is chili sauce. Ooh. This is cheating a bit. There's a sweet chili sauce, which is like S tier, extremely good. And I would put that on quite a few things. Next is barbecue sauce, which there's tons of different kind of barbecue sauces, but barbecue sauce is absolutely legit. Best wings, in my opinion, are honey barbecue wings. The sauce is God tier. Then for the top five is, number five is some sort of hot sauce, which basically is sriracha. I'll put that on things semi-frequently, but it does upset my stomach these days because I'm getting old, but it tastes amazing and it feels great coming out. So bonus points for that. Then we have what I think at number four is the most overrated condiment. It's still good because it's number four on my list, mind you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's
But
severely...
this was not how good it was. It was how often you use it,
yes.
right?
I think because many people probably had this at the top of their list, which I think it will be at the top of yours. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the most overrated is mayo.
Overrated.
It's very good, but it could never be number one in my opinion. Like people that use it with fries, disgusting. Absolutely fucking disgusting. Okay.
All right, this is a that's a viewer engagement take right there.
I
that
agree.
Is a
now,
farming
again,
comments on YouTube take.
I still love mayo. I am American after all, and mayo's in a shit ton of stuff, so I'm eating it all the time. But mm-hmm. if I'm being picky here, this it's an overrated in my opinion. It's completely overrated. Number three. This is where we get really good stuff, Cinderin. Oil vinegar. Oh, God, it's the best. I wish I could put this on more stuff. The fact that I'm making a pizza, even though I don't put oil and vinegar, it's more a, what was it? Balsamic glaze of something. I'm just including that as part
of
it.
Oh, your fucking pizza with,
so
what was
good.
It? What was so, that glaze you talked
yeah,
about?
Yeah, it's a fig. Balsamic fig glaze.
Fig glaze. It's like... Think about food that you only hear in the U.S. I'm like, where would anyone ever...
Anytime I make a sandwich, it's oil vinegar. Like, it's... That is the best combo. If you had to pick a combo, which we're not doing in today's tier list. But that is God tier. Number two is mustard. And the only reason it's not number one is because I don't use it on everything. But honey mustard for me, in terms of taste, is better than every sauce.
Oh, honey mustard.
Honey Dijon mustard, to be specific. Honey Dijon mustard is the best of the best when it comes to taste, but I will not put it on everything.
You like unsweetened mustard, too.
I used to. These days, it's like meh at best. Like, I'll have it if it's the only thing, but basically, I'll have Dijon mustard or honey Dijon, like I said, is my favorite. Number one, it just has to be ketchup. It goes on literally everything. Like, there's nothing that goes... Like, you could put this on fucking pizza, even though I don't do it. You can put it on pizza and it's going to taste good. Ketchup, the reason it's the best condiment, in my opinion, is because it goes with everything if you need it to, in a pinch. Doesn't mean it tastes the best, even though it does taste good. Has sugar in it, of course, which is good for you. But it,
that's very good.
Based on usage, it's definitely number one, and it's not really close.
All right. Okay. Okay, so that's your list.
Yeah. Can't
I have a list
of
mine based
comments.
So I did a different type of list. So I did my list based on how good they are, not how much I use them, which aren't necessarily one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go from bottom up. I guess out of category is probably horseradish sauce. I don't know if I've ever had it, but... I don't like horseradish very much.
No, I don't either. So, you would like, trust me, you would like this, guaranteed.
I'm assuming this probably is like sweetened or whatever, if you like it, because most sauces that you like are sweetened. So maybe it's sweet. I don't know.
So it has a mayo taste with a horseradish kick. That's the way I can explain it.
Okay, maybe, hang on. maybe I've had what you talk about. Yeah,
like when it comes even though Cinderin and I disagree on like what's the best or whatever, generally speaking, if I like something, he will too. Would you agree with that? Like
most of the time,
we usually have like very similar taste.
Yeah, for the most part.
But I'm very adamant.
And I've
about
got you a little bit started on sushi. You used to despise it, and now it's
it's
in reach.
I need to I need to be in the mood. But yeah, when I am, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. I also need to be in the mood for food when I eat. All right, number 10. Chili sauce. I don't like hot sauces that much. So I don't know. I guess it just shares 9th, 10th with hot sauce. I don't know which one is better or worse, but
really? Wow.
Don't think it's particularly good.
You've had sriracha?
I have. It's I do like a kick. I do like a kick and stuff, but if I get the choice, if you're like, which sauce would you like with this? And I had this entire list of options, I would never choose any of these two.
Okay.
I understand that there's obviously some food that this works better with than others. It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, I'm just picking ketchup and mayo for everything.
So does that mean, in general...
I will not put ketchup on my pizza.
If you're getting curry or just literally anything, you will ask for mild.
definitely not strong. I'm not saying that the less spicy something is, the better it is, because I do think some things are better if they're a little bit spicier. But if it becomes like, I don't know, if you, let's say you go to a restaurant and it has like, and you could choose spice from 1 to 5, I'd probably pick 2, because I feel like you very quickly cross a threshold where the spice takes over and you can't taste the food as much anymore.
And your threshold and the spice is what you're 2. Tasting.
2 out of 5, I think.
If I didn't have to worry about my fucking bowels exploding, I would get it 4 out of 5 probably every time. It's fucking amazing when it's
spicy. It's not like I can't eat it if it's a 3. I just think I would enjoy it less, so why would I?
Well, yeah, right? I've told like you this story.
You're just making
it
spicy for the sake of making it spicy, not to making it taste better.
Yeah, but I think it does taste better. I mean, it depends on what the actual that's what scale I mean. Is.
It doesn't taste better when it becomes significantly spicy.
If you're sweating, it's too spicy.
Yes, 100% agreed.
Now,
and
you
probably
sweat
at a 4, and I might... I don't know, actually.
You
maybe
sweat
I
at
don't
a 2?
No, I do not.
Okay, just checking.
Okay, next up, number one most overrated on this list, barbecue sauce is number 8.
Okay.
I think it's good, but it's nothing special. And I think people consider this the holy grail when it really isn't. It's good, but...
Have you had honey barbecue wings?
Of course it's something with honey. Isn't everything just with honey with you? Honey mustard, honey barbecue, honey horseradish, honey hot sauce.
You used to make fun of me because I like cherry everything. So cherry and honey. What's wrong with that? They're delicious.
Honey is very good. Honey barbecue. I don't know if I've ever had that before.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Anyway, next, number 7, soy sauce, I think is very good on a few things, but not like, again, outstanding. I would like it with sushi. I like it with spring rolls. And obviously as an ingredient in a lot of Chinese foods that I like, but it's not like as a condiment, I would only pick it for like the 2 things I just mentioned, not very often. Number 6, sweet and sour.
Okay.
It's very good. But also again, dude, this list is actually impossible. We'll just leave it there.
But sweet and sour, like, so what do you use it on then? If you're using spring rolls with soy sauce, what the hell do you use?
Right.
Sweet and sour for?
It could be pretty good with something like nuggets or wings, I guess.
Wings?
That's 2 examples, I suppose. Yeah.
Huh.
I think
sweet and sour wings. Okay.
Isn't that a thing? Can't you have that?
I mean,
I think you can.
It's not a popular thing, but yeah, I guess. I believe I've seen it on the menu before. It's not that common.
I don't know. So to be honest with you, on this list, I mean, I have to place things somewhere. There are some of these things that I almost never have.
Okay.
If I have sweet sour, it's almost
almost
exclusively with chicken.
Are you basing it off of the drinkability by itself? Because sweet and sour sauce.
You want to do a list for that?
I could chug that shit. That's good. That is good.
All right. Next up, number 2 most overrated on this in general, ketchup is number 5.
Wow.
Wow,
that's a European take. That's not uncommon.
So ketchup is good, but it's not like, wow, it's solid. It works with a lot of stuff, but
I think
part of for me with ketchup being a bit uninteresting is that, I mean, first of all, it's probably about how much you've had it as one thing your entire life and that you have it so much as a kid with stuff. Maybe that got me a little bit bored with it. But I also think, it's harder for a ketchup to impress. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of ketchups you get taste very similar. And I like if it's like, okay, something can really
see. That's what I like
have
about
more
ketchup
depth
is that,
you
know? it's very consistent. You know exactly what you're going to get. I think there's Dijon ketchup. I've never had anything like that before. I just get the regular old white trash fucking ketchup, put it on my whatever, my burger.
I would say, I think a lot of the time, something like spicy ketchup is better than ketchup because, again, the variety of having something a bit different can be nice while still having it be ketchup. But
you better not have mayo, number 1. Keep going.
Ketchup is overrated. Number 4, oil vinegar. I don't know. I had to put this somewhere. I love vinegar. But yeah, as a condiment, I find this list kind of impossible to make because half of the things on
you
here
would.
I wouldn't call a condiment.
I had a very easy time. You would. Have issue. 4th?
Okay.
And you're like, man, I just had to put it somewhere. It's 4th! That should be amazing to you. You should be very
excited. It is very good, but it's a condiment. I mean, this whole discussion.
You literally read the website. It said it's a condiment.
Yeah, it's that website also said Nutella is a condiment. Yeah, okay,
Nutella would be last on my list, past ranch. So,
okay. Third is mustard. This one has grown on me massively in the last like 5 years. I used to not really like mustard. I don't know when this changed for me. I fucking love mustard. I love regular mustard. I love honey mustard. It is super good.
What the fuck? You haven't said ranch yet? Oh my god.
We use it in cooking. It's really, really nice. Maybe I would switch this with number two.
What kind of mustard are we talking?
Just Dijon mustard, for example.
Like, but not what? What about yellow, like plain mustard? Do you like that?
Yes, I do.
A lot.
But I think yellow, I don't know, like, what's yellow mustard even? I don't know if you... Yeah, I do. How would you describe Dijon mustard compared to yellow mustard? Like, what's the difference for you?
It has spice to it.
Right, but they both have no sweetness, right?
Correct.
Right, okay, yeah. I like both, but I would say Dijon mustard is definitely better.
Okay, any of you had honey mustard, Sindarin?
I have. I've had it as a sauce in Subway, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's, sandwich. Oh, you put honey mustard and oil vinegar combined. Delicious.
You're an audio listener. You're just driving in your car, chilling, and then you just hear Shannon just...
That's right. Enjoy that ASMR, free of charge. All
right. I'm debating whether I should swap this with number two, which is ranch, because
God, how? How?
Ranch is really nice.
How? It's just... Isn't that an American sauce? I'm actually shocked. Is it Europeans like ranch in general? Or
I like ranch. I think it's good. Huh. I guess in Denmark, we would probably just call it a creme fraiche sauce, right? That's the main thing, I think. In a ranch dressing, right? Like, what do you make ranch with?
Well, Caesar salad is ranch, I think, right?
Yeah, love Caesar salad. Caesar salad's absolutely good. Love that.
That's basically the only time I'll have ranch, other than like occasionally with wings. Ranch sauce.
I love the sauce on Caesar salad. It's so good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what we would call this in Denmark because we don't call it ranch. You can't, like, get that anywhere. But when I have the sauce in the U.S., it's not like it's something new to me. So it would just have a different
name. I wanted to just double check because I've said a lot of stupid shit. This is American. That is an American thing.
Ranch.
Which is why I'm surprised that you like it.
Yeah. But I just love the taste of ranch.
Would you say that Europeans generally like ranch?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
It has like white sauces, huh? Interesting.
Yes, we do. And that's why number one is mayo, Shannon, because that is not overrated. And there's a couple of things that makes mayo number one.
Okay.
Every variation of mayo. First of all, it's very flexible. You can have all sorts of nice mayo. There's just the basic regular mayo. Then you can have spicy mayo. You can have garlic mayo, which for me is number one condiment of all time, is garlic mayonnaise. And number two is probably truffle mayo. I absolutely love truffle, and I think truffle mayo with fries, for example, is fucking amazing. So is garlic mayo. But yeah, it's just easily takes the cake for me as number one. There's other mayonnaises too, but I love that it has so many options based on what you're having, which is my problem with ketchup and why that's overrated, because it kind of... I mean, yeah, you can spice your ketchup up a little bit, but you can't have... Can you have garlic ketchup? Can you have truffle ketchup? Not really, right?
How do you know?
I mean, maybe you can. I haven't seen it. But, yeah, mayo is just...
I have not had garlic mayo. I'd be interested in trying it.
It is so fucking good, dude.
Mayo for me is... It's like... It's a base to a lot of food that I like, but as a sauce, I will not use it that often because I'd rather... like. You can only have so much sauce on something, and I'm usually going to be putting, like on a sandwich, oil, vinegar. Actually, I do put mayo on that as well. Oil, vinegar, mayo, and honey mustard. Just, stack that nice and high. People are saying I'm an idiot.
Wow.
Apparently, Caesar salad does not use ranch. Okay. I don't know the difference then between... Oh, I guess I do know the difference. Yeah, that is not ranch, is it? So what is Caesar salad? What is that
used? Did you just bait me actually into saying yes, I love ranch on Caesar salad? Because I just trusted you.
Yeah.
Because I love the sauce on Caesar salad, but it's called Caesar dressing, actually.
Yeah.
It just has its own name, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Ranch is I mean, they're not the same, but they're kind of in this, in the scope of this list, they're a lot more similar than other things in this list.
Yeah, we should have added the Caesar salad sauce.
Caesar dressing is also, oh man, that would be really high up. Someone's saying Bernays, where would you put, oh man, Bernays, dude.
Bernays. What is that usually
I might
on?
Put Bernays might be number one, but it's like,
have I had?
Is that a condiment? Like, once again, is it Bernays? I mean, all the we had all the other sauces. Bernays is easily top three.
Oh, I remember Bernays is always fucking in these amazing fancy restaurants. I was at the last fancy restaurant I was at. And I don't remember if I liked it or not. I'm sure it's good. The ingredients look delicious.
Bernays is so good.
All right, so you, mayo versus ketchup. That is, we should make a poll. We can't do that on YouTube,
that's
though.
Good, actually.
It basically comes down to how many Americans versus how many Europeans, though. Like, let's
I think
real.
There's a lot of Americans that think mayo is better than ketchup.
I don't think so.
But I do think in the U.S., if we're specifically talking about as a side to, like, fries, I think in the U.S. most people would pick ketchup, whereas in, like, I think there's a big span there, a big difference between what Americans would choose with their fries. But in Denmark, mayo with your fries is very common. I think in the U.S. it's pretty rare, right?
Yeah, why mayo
it's
with fries?
It's so good
why?
With fries.
It like it's there's the no there's almost no taste.
Garlic mayo with fries, dude.
Okay, I can't speak for garlic mayo.
Truffle mayo
but
with
mayo
fries.
With fries, I will never be into.
Very good.
Ketchup is just always, it's just a nice stark taste, you know?
Right, you know what? When I get fries, right, this is going to trigger you. When I get fries with ketchup, like let's say I get it somewhere and it comes with ketchup, I don't eat the ketchup, I eat the fries by themselves. I will just not use it. If I go to a restaurant and I get a burger with fries and there's a little bowl of ketchup on the side, I don't use it because I feel like it just takes away from the fries. So I'll literally just leave it there. I think the fries are better because you get the salt and the, yeah.
You have offended me.
The nice flavor.
Ketchup is amazing.
I think the ketchup's actually not worth it. But if I get fries with mayo, you bet your ass I'm dipping them. Always.
God,
there's no way I'm just leaving the mayo standing there.
Mayo, again, I can't speak for garlic. It's just such a bland taste. Like, I want something strong. See, my taste buds have evolved to a point. I need something very strong. That's why I love oil and vinegar. It, like, takes over all your taste buds. It consumes everything.
Oil vinegar is very good.
And ketchup, I consider to be similar. Okay, that's our list.
Damn, what a great list. Yep. How do we how do we poll this on YouTube? Do we just have people write ketchup or mayo?
Yeah, just somebody write ketchup.
How about this? The first two commenters, one of you writes ketchup, the other writes mayo, and then we need people to thumbs up the one they like more.
Yeah.
That's the best way we can make a poll on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I'm about to be severely disappointed in our audience.
I'm very curious. And this is just in general. It's not for fries. It's just which, if you had to only have one of them for the rest of your life between ketchup and mayo,
yeah,
you need to pick one.
Okay.
Okay. I'm very curious about this, actually. Now I'm invested.
And with that, we made it to an hour and 12. It's been half an hour. Are you kidding me? What the fuck? What is wrong with us? All right.
Whenever we do a tier list, it does take quite a lot of time. Actually, when we did the fruit one, that probably took half an hour as well. I remember that one very vividly. You had some garbage takes on that one.
Well, I put pineapple as S tier. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you had some good takes. There were definitely some like, all right, I could see that, and then there were some, what the fuck, man? Yeah. That's fine.
That's you in a nutshell with food. That's what happens with things of taste, you know, everybody has a different opinion. All right. And generally, I think regionally, people will agree with, you know, people that are within the same area as them because that's what they're used to. Like the whole fries mayo thing. Basically, nobody in the U.S. will do that. Okay. Until next time, Suns Fan Center signing out. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.
We say things. Subscribe. Anything,
but thanks for listening.